Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Hello and welcome to Premier League All Access with me, Alex Crook. Alongside me today, I've got Scott Minto and, delighted to say, former Wimbledon and Man United forward Terry Gibson joined us as well. Here's what's coming up. I was right and the great Jeff Stelling was wrong when he told me Mainoo has no chance of going to the European Championships. Jeff Stelling, eat that humble pie, sir.
Why does it have to be a shootout between the two? Because Harry Kane is the starter. What if Harry Kane gets injured in the first game? One of them, if we only take one of them, we don't have a striker on the bench.
I'm not sure that Rashford goes. He didn't get a minute on the pitch on Tuesday night. He had a cameo at the weekend, didn't do particularly well. We know that his club form isn't great. I'm not convinced the relationship between Southgate and Rashford is perhaps quite as tight as maybe a lot of people do.
Spurs were better than Arsenal 2 or 3 years ago. Suddenly Arsenal have gone right past Spurs. So we need to make up ground again, and it needs to be not just about top four, but, you know, challenging.
If Arsenal were to go to the Etihad and win, not only would they go 3 points further away from Manchester City, so it'd be four plus the goal difference, psychologically, and doing the double over them, but psychologically, after what happened last season and the way they dropped off, I tell you what, they'd be difficult to bet against.
So a case of La Liga revisited on the podcast today. Scott, Terry, how are we?
I'm very well, Scott. Alexia, thanks for the invite on. Yes, it does bring back memories of the days of Ronaldo against Messi and Pep and Jose and stuff like that. But we're here for a very different subject today.
They were good days, Gibbo, weren't they?
It was fantastic. I mean, it was a prime time to be involved with Spanish football as well. They'd all the best players in the world, biggest managers in the world. Yeah. It's a little bit different now, I have to say. Barcelona having troubles. But Real Madrid are still top of the tree and still bound to be involved. Well, they still are involved in the Champions League. Both clubs are, and Atletico Madrid. But I think Real Madrid seem to be the best hope of La Liga this season in the Champions League. But of course, against Manchester City. So it might put a kibosh on their hopes this season.
Yeah, no Pep against Jose this weekend. We do have Pep against Arteta. We've got a big preview to come on the game of the return of the Premier League. Let's start, though, by looking back on England. I was at Wembley on Tuesday night to see Kobbie Mainoo absolutely shining. Can we just take a couple of minutes at the start of this podcast to acknowledge that I was right and the great Jeff Stelling was wrong when he told me Mainoo has no chance of going to the European Championships. Jeff Stelling, eat that humble pie, sir.
Do we now need to hold a 30-second round of applause? Or, you know, I mean, how do you want us to deal with this, Crookie? No, look, I mean, we spoke about it on Monday, didn't we, about the impact he made coming off the bench, looking like, you know, he's comfortable. That's the first thing you need to know, because they say it takes about 10 caps to feel comfortable. Well, he looked comfortable straight away with his little turn and pirouette and passing. But actually now, that performance against Belgium, not only is he on the plane for sure, he's genuinely pushing for a starting place. And I'm very wary about saying that, because I was thinking after Monday that perhaps I should have said, look, I'm not talking about him as a starter. But I'm not quite sure who else you'd put in front of him, certainly not in current form. And if it wasn't for the fact that he's just literally come in and made his debut, he's the standout candidate to be alongside Declan Rice.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think we have to go back to pre-season, because do you remember he made a big impact pre-season around the States and they played Real Madrid, and it was, oh, the first time anyone had seen him, you know, apart from those that watched the Manchester United younger teams. And he picked up a pretty serious injury, which meant he missed the, apparently, you know, and he's only played 14 Premier League games for Manchester United. So that's why there's reluctance from a lot of people to suggest that he might be in the squad, he might be in the team. But I think if he had never picked up that injury pre-season, we would have definitely seen a lot more of him this season. But the games that he's been involved in since his return to fitness, he's a main starter for Erik ten Hag. And Manchester United have improved with him in the team. So, you know, it's a clear to everybody now that I think he will be in the squad. And as Scott rightly said, he's a contender for a place in the starting lineup. 18 years old. I mean, we'd be looking at him last night and saying if he was 28, that he played well. But the fact he's 18 is still, you know, it does still take people by surprise that someone so young with so little experience can walk onto a pitch and against a team like Belgium and more than hold his own.
I think the key with Kobbie Mainoo is to make sure that he keeps his feet on the ground. From what I'm told, he's a very humble individual, takes training very seriously, isn't particularly money motivated at this stage. But we have been here before with Marcus Rashford, for one high-profile example, at Manchester United, where if you're not given the right advice, if you don't surround yourselves with those positive influences, then things can go south. We hope that doesn't happen for Kobbie Mainoo. I think Erik ten Hag, actually, if he is to keep his job, his management of the young players, the likes of Garnacho, I'm told, has also improved his attitude tenfold. Mainoo and Rasmus Højlund, I think that's the big pluses for ten Hag when it comes to Ineos making the decision come the end of the season. Is he the right man to take Manchester United forward? In terms of other standout performances last night, I think Jarrod Bowen did his claims no harm at all. And I thought Ivan Toney scoring his penalty, that was never in any real doubt. But I just think he played with that confidence and that arrogance that maybe, Scott, we haven't seen from Ollie Watkins in an England shirt.
Yeah, I mean, I'd throw in Esri Konsa there, I thought did well over the two games. But I think the big one is up front, isn't it? You know, if Harry Kane is to be injured, and I've been a big Ollie Watkins fan, but and it's very difficult. We had Dean Ashton on the pod on Monday, and he was right saying it's extremely harsh to be almost, it's a shootout in these two games, but it is what it is, and Ivan Toney's getting fitter and fitter, and this is his chance to shine. And I think he helps England keep the ball better. I think Ollie Watkins is a very good player. I don't think he 100% trusts himself playing for England. He was always sort of running the channels instead of coming off and trying to, you know, be almost like a Harry Kane. Not saying you should try and copy Harry Kane, but just holding the ball up and letting the wide players go in behind. And I thought he was better at it. We know what he's like at penalties. I think, you know, I'd like to know, and between now and the Euros, I'm going to go through the stats and see how many times a team that's won a major tournament has had to go through a penalty shootout. So it will be important. But I think even just the hold-up play, I think he really impressed Ivan Toney. And again, he's another one who, you know, doesn't need 10 caps to feel that he's an international.
At the other end of the spectrum, Terry, did you feel a little bit of sympathy for Lewis Dunk? He was given the runaround by Lukaku in the Europa League recently. And I wonder if those scars were still raw. I thought he was getting too touch type to Lukaku anyway, even before the mistake. But his place has to be in doubt now, doesn't it, come the summer?
Yeah, I think what it highlighted was the fact that we do have a first choice back four, probably. And trying to think how many of them are playing. John Stones started last night and that was it. No Harry Maguire, no Luke Shaw, no Kyle Walker. So I think we're running out of games now, a couple of games left. And I think that it's clearly evident that people might have their complaints about Harry Maguire starting in the team. But when you look at the back four, that back four in general does serve England well. And I think we're running out of games now to give people opportunities for them to prove their worth to start or to be in the squad. So it was a tough night for Lewis Dunk. But going back to Ollie Watkins and Ivan Toney, why are you not taking both? That's what I don't understand. Why does it have to be a shootout between the two? Because Harry Kane is the starter. What if Harry Kane gets injured in the first game? One of them, if we only take one of them, we don't have a striker on the bench. So there's not that option either then of bringing another striker on. So it's a weird one. Now we're going to take loads of wide players, loads of number 10s, maybe loads of midfield players, and only one substitute striker. I know Rashford can play there, but I don't see why you can't take three.
Well, I was going to ask you just before we move on. I'm not sure that Rashford goes. He didn't get a minute on the pitch on Tuesday night. He had a cameo at the weekend, didn't do particularly well. We know that his club form isn't great. I'm not convinced the relationship between Southgate and Rashford is perhaps quite as tight as maybe a lot of people do. Does it speak volumes, Scott, that England were trying to get back in the game and he turned to Watkins ahead of Marcus Rashford?
Yeah. And look, you know, I agree with Gibbo. Again, we said on Monday about that I feel that we should take three strikers. I just don't think he will. I think he wants to, as Gibbo's saying, a lot of wide players, a lot of central midfield players. And last night I was trying to work out my 23 and it took a bit of time and there's some harsh decisions in there. And I know what you're saying about perhaps the relationship isn't quite as harmonious as it could be. I just think Marcus Rashford can liven up in the major tournaments. And while I said that can't remember the last time he's had a good game as a centre forward, he can play as an auxiliary centre forward. So I actually think he will go, to be honest with you.
Well, I hope he livens up between now and the end of the season. He might just give United a chance of winning a few games. Right, that's it for international football until the summer, when, of course, we'll have every single game from Euro 2024 live on the TalkSport network. For now, though, let's turn our focus back to the return of the big league.
TalkSport will bring you the climax to the Premier League season at every end of the table.
It's Almiron, played it down the right-hand side of the box, into the area, twisting and turning, lays it off to Gordon! And there's the goal for Newcastle! Bowen is there again! He scored two in 2 minutes! This is unbelievable! Was there ever any doubt? When Son Heung-min races clear.
Barkley edge of the area, who's in behind Zabani. He strikes high into the net and smashes it home. It's a brilliant counter-attacking goal from Luton.
Has been played into the area and he's been turned in from point-blank range. And it's that man, Ivan Toney, again.
Low ball into the box. It's pulled back and slammed in by Alejandro Garnacho.
It's a brilliant, brilliant move.
Brentford against Manchester United is an 8 o'clock kickoff live on TalkSport on Saturday night. I wonder if in some ways the international break came at a bad time for United following that historic extra time victory against Liverpool. They do have players coming back though. Terry Rasmus Højlund featured for Denmark during the international break. Will he go straight back into the team, you think?
Yeah, I think he's a must now. If he's fit, he plays and he's been in good form. And he's been a good addition. There's a lot of pressure on him. When he joined United for such a high transfer fee, still so young, the comparisons clearly are made with Erling Haaland, who's a little bit old, a bit more experienced, but Scandinavian strikers, he's not as good as Erling Haaland. No one is as good as Erling Haaland. But he has settled down. It took him a while, I feared for him at times, to be honest, in the early stages of this season, because he was getting a lot of blame, a lot of flack, and you could see from a striker's point of view that his runs were being ignored. He wasn't getting the service. Maybe he didn't have the trust of his teammates, and maybe at the beginning of the season was suffering with an injury that I think he joined the club with a back problem. But since then, he's really worked hard. I love his attitude, and I think he's got the talent to go with it. He's certainly got the ability in him. I've been impressed with his attitude. So, yes, he starts in, I think, any game now that Manchester United play, because it's he's important to them now.
This is a big game for Ten Hag, isn't it? Because I do think he's effectively on trial between now and the end of the season. Every day, another manager or another coach seems to get linked with that position. We were hearing yesterday from usually reliable sources that Gary O'Neill at Wolves could be offered a coaching position at United, not necessarily the top job. Knowing Gary as I do, I'm not convinced that he would be particularly keen on that, to take a step down, even if it is a club like Manchester United. But there is a possibility that Ineos do decide to stick with Ten Hag. But I think in order for that to happen, Scott, they need to start producing victories and producing performances where they can dominate opponents like Brentford. Because if they don't win this game, then once again, it's a step forward against Liverpool, followed by a couple of steps back.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And again, I've likened United and Chelsea very, very similar. And they've done that all season, really. A couple of steps forward and probably three steps back. Look, I think it's it's absolutely crucial for United to go and win this game, and I'm doing it for Talk Sport. I'm really looking forward to it. They're up against a side that are really in the relegation, you know, problems. It's two wins in 15. They've lost 14 of the last 18. And absolutely, he's on trial here. Absolutely. And look, we don't know what's going to happen with Gareth Southgate. If he wins the Euros, his stock will be high. If they go for him, then so be it. Even though I think there'll be a lot of United fans, probably yourself included, that still wouldn't want him to be a United manager. All he can do is control the controllables from now on, here on in. If they can somehow find a way to win the FA Cup, if they can somehow find a way to break into that, maybe even get fifth position, you know, everyone's talking about Villa and Spurs, and I think it will be between those two. But I've said all along, I think fifth position would be enough to get a Champions League place, because I think we'll do well in Europe as English clubs. So if they can do that, then absolutely. It's been a lot of injuries. You know, Dick Gibbo's just talked about Rasmus Højlund. Marcus Rashford hasn't been at it. Garnacho's coming in now. Kobbie Mainoo's coming through. If they get the injuries back, then there's every chance, if you finish the season well, that I think Ten Hag will be kept on, because there's not that standout candidate out there to come and be the Manchester United manager. So this is the next step. This is a must-win game for United and Ten Hag.
And as I mentioned earlier, I think Ineos have taken note of the fact that he's getting the best out of the young players. They seem to enjoy playing for him. And the whole business model that Sir Jim Ratcliffe is putting in place is that United aren't going to be this club who chase Hollywood names anymore. They're going to develop their own talent. They're going to sign up-and-coming players like Michael Olise, like Jarrod Branthwaite, potentially. So I do think Ten Hag as a coach maybe has a lot going for him. We shall see. One player who needs a good end to the season, and I think he's the player that's going to be used as a stick to beat the manager with if he doesn't find some form, is Antony, £86 million down the drain as it stands. But he did come off the bench, Terry, against Liverpool and made a really positive impact. Could that be the turning point in his Old Trafford career?
Well, you know what? They paid so much money for him, and there are glimpses of the type of player he is. We certainly haven't seen, he hasn't produced the value to match the fee that United paid for him. But there must be a player there somewhere. Technically, he's really good. Ten Hag has obviously worked with him before and was definitely, you know, desperate to, keen to get him to join United. And again, it's tough, you know, when you come to a big club like Manchester United, but the expectations are extraordinarily high. And yet, you know, he hasn't managed to perform, but it just takes it can be something as simple as this to give him the confidence, to give him the belief. The manager will back him, because he obviously had belief in him from the very start and knows that there's better there than what we've seen. So, yeah, of course it can be. I'm not suggesting he's going to be a mainstay for United for the rest of the season, but if he can have an impact off the bench, if he can start games in some of the matches and perform better than what we've seen, then we might see that he has to be better than what we've seen since he joined the club. So, yeah, it can be something as simple as this, that he actually feels he belongs there now. And he marches on forward. But am I convinced? Probably not. But I hope, for his sake, that this might be a turning point.
Well, Scott will be part of the commentary team at the G-Tech, as he's already mentioned, 8 o'clock live on TalkSport on Saturday evening. Before that, 3 o'clock live and exclusive on TalkSport. We have Tottenham against Luton. I'm delighted that we're doing this game as our 3 o'clock commentary this weekend. Big game at both ends of the table. Tottenham looking to bounce back from that somewhat surprising defeat against Fulham last time out to maintain their push for a Champions League place. And Luton buoyed, no doubt, by Nottingham Forest points deduction, although we found out this week Forest are to appeal against that. They need to start winning games as well, or all of those financial sanctions for their relegation rivals will be irrelevant. How do we see this one, Scott?
Look, I think it's a game, again, that, I mean, from Luton's point of view, you know, they'll look back at that week where they were 3-0 up against Bournemouth, lost 4-3. And you can say it was a good point in the end to nick a late equaliser against Forest. But, you know, that could be the week, I think, where they look back and say we go down. But you look at the next few games they've got coming up, of the next four games, three away: Spurs, Arsenal, City. You know, it's kind of good luck with that. But they have got winnable home games. So this is one of those where if Luton can get a point, they'd snap your hand off now. If Spurs are to finish in that fourth place and be nailed on for Champions League, they 100% need to be winning this game. And I know you're desperate for Ange to do that as well, Crookie, aren't you?
You're being a little bit mischievous there, and so is Jeremy with the running order, our producer, because he says that Postecoglou might not be everybody's cup of tea. And yeah, I do think sometimes rudeness gets excused as him being a bit jocular. But Terry, you have to say he's come into a club, he's lost his best player, maybe their best ever player in Harry Kane, completely transformed the way that they play. If he was to finish in the top four this season, how big an achievement would that be for the Australian?
It would be a fine achievement. I think there's a big positive turnaround at Spurs this season because of the form and the style of play that Spurs had. Said we there. My mistake.
Old habits die hard.
Yeah, that Spurs had under the previous managers. Supporters weren't enjoying going to the games. And Postecoglou has arrived and transformed that. And he's made a huge difference. I still am not 100% convinced, I have to be honest. I because of the Fulham game isn't a standout match. Spurs have had those disasters during the season. And I do see similar mistakes. I think Tottenham have a really good set of players now. I think that helps any manager as well. I think it's the best squad they've had for some time. And obviously Harry Kane leaving was a massive blow to Spurs. So if they were to finish in the top four after Harry Kane departing and leaving the club, yes.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
It would be a fantastic achievement. But I revert to being a fan of Spurs rather than a pundit. And I'm just desperate for them to do well and to finish in the top four. So I share that frustration of all the supporters when it was disastrous against Fulham. And if you genuinely think you want to challenge not just top four, but the teams at the top, I mean, Spurs were better than Arsenal 2 or 3 years ago. Suddenly Arsenal have gone right past Spurs. So we need to make up ground again. And it needs to be not just about top four, but, challenging, getting closer to the teams at the top. Arsenal have shown it can be done, because no one was getting close to City and Liverpool, but Arsenal have done that now in the last couple of years, and I hope Spurs are on a similar trend. But it's been a long time saying that, though.
It would be very Spursy for them not to finish in the Champions League places, wouldn't it? Just on Luton, Andros Townsend, one of their players, has been having his say during the international break, and he's been voicing frustration that they're not above the relegation zone, or not further clear of the relegation zone. He says they shouldn't even be in the conversation, given they were 3-0 up against Bournemouth and lost. The fact they managed to get back from 2-0 down to get 2-2 against Aston Villa and lost. Is there a concern, if you're a player in that dressing room, that you're playing well and not picking up results? What happens when you start playing badly? Does that come into a player's mindset?
I think it is worrying if you're 3-0 up and you lose the game. Because if you somehow go 3-0 up again, you're thinking, remember what happened last time? Now, and that's obviously not something you should be thinking. But look, if they do get into a position of being 3-0 up, they won't let that happen again. And the thing that I think about Luton is they were mentally ready for this from the very start of the season. They were mentally ready for an absolute scrap. And I think if you'd have asked them after 29 matches, are you happy to be a point above the dotted line? then they would have taken it 100%. So look, there's been a lot of points dropped in that situation. That's something that, that Rob Edwards will be looking to try and sort out. But what I would say is they're not Burnley, they're not Sheffield United, and they are, due to points deductions, outside the drop zone at the moment. As difficult as the next few games are coming up, they do have winnable ones, and it is in their hands.
They have conceded 60 goals in 29 games, and I just don't see how any team that poor defensively can stay up. We shall see. That's our 3 o'clock offering on Talk Sport this coming Saturday. Quick word on the 12:30 game, because I don't think it's particularly good. Newcastle against West Ham. Newcastle's season, Terry, effectively over after they limped out the FA Cup against Manchester City. How important is it for Eddie Howe that they have a real crack at the European places between now and May?
Oh, it is. I mean, they're 4 points behind West Ham, who lie in seventh place. So there is a chance, and they're playing West Ham, so they can close that gap. And let's not forget, Newcastle haven't been in Europe for a long time. They're not regular participants in European football. So it probably wasn't realistic to expect them, once they got in the Champions League, to stay there every year. So I think European football would be a huge bonus for Newcastle and their fans, and important for Eddie Howe. So I think we can all see that the trials and tribulations that have gone on at Newcastle this season. They haven't been able to buy the players that they thought they could afford. And the injury issues at Newcastle this season have been catastrophic. So they've gone from a team that basically got fourth place because they were so sound defensively, so solid. And then this season, players have been missing. Nick Pope has been missing for a huge chunk of the season. And now Sven Botman is out for the rest of the season. So it's just one of those seasons for Newcastle. Is Eddie Howe under pressure? Who knows? You know, I wouldn't like to think so, but the expectations at Newcastle have certainly changed since his arrival, and the new owners have taken over. So he probably is, but I don't think he should be.
Interestingly, on West Ham, I was told this week they are serious contenders for the signature of Ivan Toney, who maybe we thought might be snapped up by a bigger club in the Premier League. It shows how ambitious the owners are, Scott. I guess the big question, and he still gets an awful lot of stick every time they lose, David Moyes as a manager, can he match those ambitions?
Well, look, in terms of results, I've said this before, I think we'll look back in the future and look at this as a golden era for West Ham in terms of, you know, 6th, 7th Europa League semi-final, winning the Europa Conference. Who knows what's going to happen, as tough as Bayer Leverkusen are. But it's not about that. It's about the style of play. And I think there's enough of it's not just an isolated minority. I think when West Ham play well, and they did play very well against Villa, were unlucky not to win the game. Obviously thrashed Freiburg before that. But if they lose this by 2 or 3, the fans are going to come out again. And I think David Moyes is a fantastic manager. I really do. I just don't think the fit is quite right. And I'd love them to go on and win the Europa League and maybe finish 6th in the league. But the fixtures going on into the end of the season are very, very difficult indeed. So there's some tough games coming up for David Moyes. Obviously, I hope they win, but I think this one's going to be tough. Then the Spurs, and then you've got the Europa League as well. Yeah, I think I'd be surprised if he's the manager next season.
Would Toney be a good fit, Terry, for West Ham? Would that be a good move for him?
I think he's, with all due respect to West Ham, I think his sights would be set higher than West Ham, to be honest. And I think he might be out of reach financially for West Ham. I think that you know, Brentford are going to sell, it's going to be big money. Ivan Toney is fighting his way back from his ban. And I think Ivan Toney is probably as I said, set his sights higher than moving to West Ham. So it'd be a good fit, yeah, because he's a really good player. But I do think one or two of the Champions League clubs in particular will be interested in Ivan Toney.
Other big games on Saturday in the Premier League: Bournemouth against Everton. Everton, of course, in desperate need of the points to pull away from the relegation places. Chelsea against Burnley. We'll see if Burnley can start to build a bit of momentum between now and the end of the season. Forest, no doubt, with that siege mentality at the City Ground, they take on Crystal Palace. Sheffield United, Fulham is also at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And there's a Midlands derby, which will have ramifications for Villa in terms of the Champions League. They take on Wolverhampton Wanderers at 5:30. Let's move on, though, to Sunday and the game of the weekend, and maybe the game of the season so far.
What an epic battle we have unfolding for the right to be called the Premier League champions.
Arsenal have won for an eighth game in a row in the Premier League. Arsenal do go top of the table.
I feel a lot of excitement, especially internally, because we are right in the mix and we want to continue to be there.
Well, we've certainly got a title race on now.
Congratulations and wish them all the best. They are incredible. They're playing insane football.
These Liverpool fans know just how much this penalty kick could mean. McAllister wrapped his right foot around the ball.
I'm fine, like we have one more month to play for the title. I'm not defining anything.
As the race for the title gets tighter and tighter.
Phil Foden with a fine equaliser for Manchester City. Into Odegaard, there's the goal. It was coming.
To be around April, May, up there.
It's Nottingham Forest nil, Liverpool 1. It's Darwin Nunez.
We are still there. We are kind of the annoying guy we cannot get rid of.
What a climax to this championship challenge we're in for on TalkSport.
I'll be at the Etihad alongside Adrian Durham for the Sunday session. Manchester City against Arsenal in what is being billed by many as a potential title decider. City absolutely battered Arsenal in this fixture last year and ultimately went on to win the title pretty convincingly. Now, I'm looking at the bookmakers' odds. Manchester City, odds against to win the title. I think that's the bet of the season because when they beat Arsenal this weekend, those odds will tumble and they will become odds-on favourites. Scott Minto.
Wow, I like the boldness there. Very much so. You know what's going to happen. And look, I think if I had a guess, I'd probably go the same. Let's flip it first and foremost. I mean, one, it's not a title decider because there's still plenty of games left and obviously there's Liverpool in the mix as well. But if Arsenal were to go to the Etihad and win, not only would they go 3 points further away from Manchester City, so it'd be four plus the goal difference, psychologically, and doing the double over them, but psychologically, after what happened last season and the way they dropped off, I tell you what, they'd be difficult to bet against. But I do think City will be very, very strong. The question is, on all these games as well, Crookie, is who's fit after the international games? And, you know, if City are missing key players, yes, they've got one of the best squads in the world, if not the best. But still, if you miss key players, you're not quite at the same level. It's fascinating to see the team sheets coming out.
Yeah, and particularly when it comes to the English players, actually, for City, because, of course, Kyle Walker returned home early, didn't play at all against Belgium on Tuesday. John Stones only lasted, 9 minutes before he hobbled off. How important, Terry, for Pep, that both those players recover quickly?
Well, it's critical. I mean, you're looking at Kevin De Bruyne as well, didn't play for Belgium. It's Ederson, is they're hoping he's going to be fit. It's the excellent point that Scott makes, because in these games, you want your best players available. There was a scare about Erling Haaland, but he played for Norway. He did come off, but I think that was just to take him off. It was a friendly game and a little bit of sympathy for Manchester City to make sure he was still fit. But no, I think it's critical. I mean, Bukayo Saka is the one doubt for Arsenal that we're going to see whether he's fit. He's a key player for Arteta's team. But no, you want your De Bruyne's back for this type of game. I agree with Scott. It's not a title decided. It's yet 9 games after this one. And Arsenal getting closer to City now. You look at the results last year, the 4-1 and the 3-1 win for City. This year, Arsenal won on penalties in the Community Shield, won 1-0 at the Emirates in the league game. So it'd be interesting to see how Arsenal approach it. Will they be all guns flying? Because they do get off to good starts. They score early goals. They probably wrap games up by half-time, hence the reason they've scored so many goals. Will they be as attacking in this game? I kind of think they will, to be honest. And I think a lot of that depends on the team sheet. If there's no Stones, no Kyle Walker, then Arteta might just be bold, go all out for the win. Because as Scott said, if they could get 4 points away from City with 9 games to go, then the belief will really kick in. There's more belief from Arsenal this year that they can win the league. I still think City will win it in saying all of that. But there is genuinely more belief from Arsenal this year that they're stronger and better than they were at this stage last season.
Could a draw be a decent result for Arsenal because it would keep them ahead of City in the table? It would give Liverpool the chance to go top. Or do you think, Scott, they need to win, kill off City and send out a statement to the rest of the league?
I don't think they need to send out the statement, but they do have difficult games and more difficult games on paper. Of course, we never know what's going to happen when the games start, but on paper, they have more difficult games than City and probably Liverpool as well. So in that respect, it would be great to get the win. But no, you go to the Etihad, you don't lose. And if you stay that point ahead, and as I say, they're 11 goals ahead in the goal difference. That's an extra point as well. If they were to win, 4 points plus the goal difference, that's 5 points with nine games to go. It's an absolutely massive one. And the mentality of it is going to be really interesting to see what Arteta does. You know, even if there are some City players out, does he go for it? I think it's very difficult to go for it at the Etihad. Yes, you want to try and put them under pressure. But we know what happened last season where they tried to press them. They just went long to Erling Haaland. I think the big thing here, the difference between this season and last season, is not just Declan Rice, but William Saliba's fit. And, you know, not only do they have they scored the most goals in the Premier League, they have the best defence. And that's a great combination to have. So I actually can see a draw and it cracking on. But I do think it's going to ebb and flow within the 90 minutes. And I've no idea which way it's going to go. You actually called Arsenal, didn't you, at the start of the season to win the title. So I take it you're wanting Arsenal to win, Crookie.
Well, I've hedged my bets. In fact, the only bet I've had is on Manchester City odds against. But you're right, I did call Arsenal at the start of the season, just to be different, really, because it was boring, you and Matterface jumping on the City bandwagon. But listen, I think there's certainly more part of the conversation than they were. Even last season when they were top of the table, you sort of knew that they were going to collapse at the end of the season. I don't think that will happen this year, especially if Saliba stays fit. I think that was a big issue in the final weeks of the last campaign, although he did get a bit of stick from his own manager for his performances for France during the international break that I found interesting. Declan Rice and Phil Foden both played the full 90 minutes for England on Tuesday. John Stones was also picked to start both games before coming off injured. I'm not sure if Sir Alex Ferguson was in charge of either of these two. He would have been particularly enamoured with Gareth Southgate. Is that fair to say?
Very much so. I think most managers have been involved coaching at international football. It was for Northern Ireland, and we didn't have an abundance of Premier League players. But we were aware that you know, going at this stage of the season with the club sides, you know, one or two teams fighting relegation, maybe one or two teams looking for promotion and all of that stuff. And it is in the back of the mind of the international coaches. And so it should be. I mean, they're not qualifiers. They were friendlies. So, yeah, I think there'll be one or two managers slightly irritated by the fact that their players in particular played two sets of 90 minutes, maybe weren't rested. But it's part and parcel of, you know, if you've got a team full of international players, I'm sure some of them are going to have to play the full complement of fixtures. So, yeah, but irritations will be forgotten and they'll all be looking forward to these games at the weekend.
Well, Arteta did a Fergie, didn't he, with Saka? So, you know, he should be nice and fresh.
And we'll see if Stones and Walker are fit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did think when I saw Stones go off so early last night that maybe that was just him protecting himself for the weekend. We shall see. Those team sheets are going to be fascinating. It will be a fascinating afternoon, as I say. Myself and Adrian will be there. Perry Groves watching from behind his chair in the studio back in London. He's very bullish about Arsenal's chances this weekend, so that should be quite an entertaining afternoon. Liverpool-Brighton gets underway at 2 o'clock on Sunday, so victory for Liverpool would put them top ahead of that Arsenal trip to the Etihad. Psychologically, how important is it that Jurgen Klopp's men get this job done?
Absolutely. 100%. You know, again, Brighton, tough game. Yes, it is. But you're at home. You know, they need to be winning pretty much every game from here on in. But one absolutely with the home games. You know, and obviously Jurgen Klopp hasn't got many games in charge of Liverpool now. And I think each one ticked off at Anfield will become more and more special. I think whatever happens, there's something psychologically and mentally going on at Liverpool where they'll be up for it, whether it's kids, whether it's people who have got niggles. The fact they're playing at home with Anfield, with that crowd, with Klopp going, I can't see anything other than a reasonably comfortable Liverpool win here.
They've still only lost, Terry, two games in the Premier League, Liverpool, which is magnificent when you look at the fact that Jurgen Klopp had to rebuild the entire midfield, and their home form in particular is imperious. They were really unlucky, I thought, not to beat Manchester City in the last sort of title showdown. They've had to use a lot of young players over the course of the last few weeks, but you think the international break maybe came at a good time and that some of those big names should be back this weekend?
Yeah, that would be a comfort for Klopp, but he's also, we've seen the enjoyment he's taken from the younger players coming in and doing well. And it's a big week for Liverpool. They've got Brighton at home this week, midweek, they've got Sheffield United at home. So it's imperative they nail down 6 points from those two games. Will it have a psychological impact on Liverpool if they go top before City play Arsenal? Probably not. I think the players there genuinely know that they are in the title race. And they'll just be focused on coming back from international duty, getting the 3 points against Brighton, then backing it up with 3 points against Sheffield United. As I say, back-to-back games in 3 or 4 days for all these players that are returning back from international duty in midweek. So I think that they'll just be focusing on 6 out of 6 points.
I think as well, you know, I think I'm right in saying there's only Argentina who played outside of Europe. All the South American teams, countries played in Europe. So there's not that travelling as such to worry about for Jurgen Klopp where there is. And I saw Luis Diaz at the London Stadium put in a fantastic performance against Spain for Colombia. So I don't think there's that tiredness worry that, you know, legitimately he's had for the last couple of seasons straight after an international break.
Roberto De Zerbi gains this game has been heavily linked in Germany with a potential move to Bayern Munich. I thought the compensation package, which I understand is in excess of £10 million, might put them off. But I spoke to Kevin Hatchard about this during the week, and he said that actually Bayern have a history where they are willing to pay compensation for managers. I think it would be a job that would attract Roberto De Zerbi, an iconic name in European football. I can see that he'd come in and ruffle a few feathers, which is maybe what Bayern need as well. Is it a case, Scott, of Brighton enjoying De Zerbi while they've got him?
I think so. I mean, it's obviously a big one, isn't it? And if he's going to go to Bayern Munich, does that mean, what have you heard about Xavi Alonso? I mean, could De Zerbi, if Xavi Alonso goes to Bayern Munich, could De Zerbi be seen as a future Liverpool boss? I mean, there's a little bit of a merry-go-round going on here, isn't there?
I'd be staggered if Xabi Alonso isn't in the Liverpool dugout come the start of the season. I think it's basically Alonso's job if he wants it. And why would he not want it? And also, is there a part of Xabi Alonso? He's going to win the Bundesliga this season with Bayer Leverkusen. What's the point in going to Bayern Munich and winning the Bundesliga again? Surely Liverpool is a bigger challenge, Terry.
I'm not sure it's a bigger challenge. I think Bayern Munich's a big challenge at the moment. And De Zerbi has been linked with the Barcelona job. So I'd take your point, Alex, that Brighton perhaps do have to enjoy him before he does depart. His reputation is growing and growing. Could he manage Liverpool? Yes, I think he could now. Could he manage Bayern Munich? Yes. Could he manage Barcelona? I don't know about that one, I have to be honest, because the trials and tribulations that are going on at Barcelona, maybe they might put him off, actually. When he looks around and he's got these opportunities at these big clubs, Barcelona might be at the bottom of the pick. So, yeah, I think it's clear that he deserves the accolades that are coming his way, and I understand why the big, you know, big clubs in Europe are keen on him. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out in the summer.
Yeah, interesting to see how that pans out. Interesting week ahead on the TalkSport network. Easter weekend, massive in the EFL. 4 live commentaries on Friday on TalkSport 2, including producer Jeremy's beloved Leeds going to Watford. On Saturday, we have back-to-back-to-back Premier League commentaries on TalkSport. Newcastle-West Ham is at 12:30. Tottenham-Luton at 3 o'clock. And Brentford against Manchester United is the 8 o'clock kickoff. The Sunday session, as I mentioned, comes live from that big title showdown at the Etihad where Arsenal travel to Manchester City. And next midweek, we've got all 10 Premier League commentaries on the TalkSport network. We'll be back to preview those on Monday morning and look back at what could be a pivotal weekend as well. My thanks to Scott and Terry, and happy Easter, everyone.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on TalkSport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.